Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH, or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, what's the deal? What is it about people with an accent? I have a problem with this. I don't know if it's a fetish or a preoccupation. I don't know what it is. But every time I meet somebody with an accent, I'm always feeling like a loser. But that's not true, because we're going to talk about Victorious Christian Living today, which we're going to unpack this. This is Pastor Linton Turkington's, one of his, I think from all the years that I've known you, Linton, that this is probably near and dear and near the center of your wheelhouse, this particular issue. The last time you were on, which was years ago, please forgive me, we were talking about kind of this whole, well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace, and just spent an entire hour unpacking the realities that Scripture teaches us about who we are in Christ, and then trying to own that and live out of that. It's just a great subject, and we were just kind of tossing around what we're going to talk about today. And one thing we're going to get to before the last segment of the show, which is Work as Worship, which is a great simulcast that's coming up in March all around the country, a great opportunity there to get some great teaching about taking our ministry into the workplace, which is where we should be anyway. Not at church. We're going to unpack that too. But Linton Turkington Celebration Church here in Raleigh, North Carolina, 21 years coming up, right, and counting. But how long have you been in the ministry?
Actually, nearly 40 years.
Hold me. So how old were you when you started?
I was in my low 20s, just turned 62 the other day, and I can't believe that I'm that old, but who can when they got older?
That's exactly
I told
right.
The church yesterday, I said, you know, someone once said that life is like a roll of toilet paper. The closer it gets to the end, the faster it goes.
So, isn't that the truth?
Well, I want to say something before we jump into things. You know, thank you for having me on the program.
You're welcome.
Honored to be here. You are forgiven that it's been a couple of years, because I know you have a lot of wonderful guests and people that you have on. But I also recognize that you are a gift to the body of Christ. I think I called you the Brillo pad of the body of Christ
yes,
last
you did.
Time. I want
yes.
to redeem myself a little.
I loved it.
but you are a voice that we need to hear. You have the gift of making Christians uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And the no sacred cow thing that is such an addiction for us as Christians to get really complacent in our Christianity. And so I just want to say thank you for taking the risk, the step of faith to have this program. It all comes with a cost. Mm-hmm. Thank you for being willing to do that. Bless you.
That's kind of you to say thank you. That really blesses me. And I'll just leave it at that. I just get uncomfortable, and it's very humbling coming from you, so
well,
I really appreciate that.
Well, you know, it is more prideful to resist a compliment.
How about that?
It takes humility to accept. I'm writing a book entitled How You Can Have a Humility You Can Be Proud Of. actually, I'm not writing a book by that title, but I wish I would. We have difficulty accepting compliments, and we always want to defer it to God.
Yeah.
It's like when someone in our church will express a gift, like your singing gift, they say, oh, it wasn't me, it was God. No, I'm pretty sure it was you. God was using your gift.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's okay to say thank you and then turn and give glory to God.
Yeah, amen.
But it's your gift. So thank you, and you're welcome.
You're welcome, and right back to you. Thank you. And this is a subject that this whole notion of kind of victorious Christian living, we talked about this before, but you had a phrase today as we were kind of leading towards what we're going to talk about, and we're just spirit-led conversation here today, nothing real formal, but this whole notion of victorious salvation, and we were talking about, you were all over the scriptures, we were talking about being an ambassador, we were talking about the fact that we're more than conquerors. Why does this theme kind of keep coming up in your preaching and in the way that you lead your church and the way you impact other churches around the country and the world?
I think it's because we have a perspective problem. I think that we endeavor to view our relationship with God purely from how we feel about God or how we think God thinks about us. In the exchange of Nathan coming to the house of Jesse to eventually find David, as the first brother stood up and to be assessed by the prophet, the Lord said, I've rejected him. Then goes on to say, God does not see as man sees. Man looks at the outward, God looks at the heart.
Right.
Now, here's the thing. It's not just about one or two areas that we don't see like God sees. I think it's in every area. We don't even see God the way that God sees God. We see God through the prism of our experiences, good or bad, our theology, good or bad, the preaching we've heard, good or bad, the things that have happened in our life, our prayers answered, good or bad, or yes or no, or whatever. And we formulate our own theology about God that sometimes is not even biblical.
Yeah.
It is based on experiences and good and bad, ups and downs. And when we think about us in relation to God, we're never seeing ourselves like God sees us. Question, what does God see when he looks at Steve Noble? Answer, he doesn't see Steve Noble. He sees the blood of Jesus. He looks at us through the blood of his son. And so in that sense, God sees us as perfect while we're on our way to perfection.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? That blows my mind.
It really does. But see, if we don't adjust our thinking, then we'll only assess ourselves or what God thinks about us on the basis of our last good or bad behavior, on the basis of our last right or wrong action or deed or word or whatever we've done or said. It doesn't matter. We will assess it on our behavior instead of God's behavior.
Yeah.
God's behavior was expressed in Jesus Christ, and he didn't come for us to be born again to be defeated the rest of our life. And respectfully, a lot of pastors who have great hearts to preach the gospel, it is not a victorious gospel. It is a hold on till Jesus comes, and if you don't sin, you just might make it to heaven, because we are more addicted to our failure than God's success in Christ.
What is it about our fallen nature that drives us towards that message and kind of embracing that?
It's because of a lack of transformation. The scripture says to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so what happens in salvation, just as God is a triune being, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and some people are dichotomous and some are trichotomists, and I'm an unapologetic trichotomist, but don't throw stones, it's okay. It's not a dark cross to die on. But the scripture says in Genesis, when God made man, he formed man in the dust of the ground, our body, breathed into him the breath or the spirit of life, and the combination of the breath of God into that mud, he became an intellectual being. So spirit, soul, and body. Paul said, I pray that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord. So because of sin, our bodies are not qualified to go to heaven. We have to lay it down. But because of salvation, we get saved in our spirit. Salvation is a spiritual exchange.
Yeah.
But we have to be transformed by the renewing of our mind.
That's right. And then after that, then now he opens up a whole way of life that I fear most of us, most followers of Jesus Christ, are not experiencing the victorious life that comes out of a victorious salvation. We'll be right back. Back at Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio, here with a good friend, Pastor Linton Turkington. Celebration Church is right here in Raleigh, North Carolina, but you don't stay in Raleigh, North Carolina very much. You are on the road a lot, and originally born and raised in?
Melbourne, Australia. Born in Melbourne, raised in Perth, the West Coast, the jewel of Australia.
What's life? Why is Melbourne different than Perth? Is that like the East Coast and the West Coast in America is so different?
Oh, you don't get out much, do you, Steve?
No, not really.
Australia and the continental United States are about the same landmass. So Melbourne would be like where roughly Fort Walton Beach, Florida is.
Okay.
And Perth is where San Diego is.
Oh, yeah, slight difference.
And just as far. So you
wow.
They're about the same landmass.
But totally different culture, totally different way of life. Just like major cities and areas in America.
Yeah, well, there's about 5 million people in Melbourne. There's maybe 1 million and a bit in Perth. Now, Western Australia is from like the California coast to, say, the border of Texas and New Mexico wide.
Wow.
Canada and Mexico long.
Wow.
One state, a little over 2 million people in that landmass. If someone says, get lost. You can.
Yeah, you can.
Lots of places to
it's
get
easy
lost.
To do that over there, yeah. Well, we're glad that God eventually brought you over here to Raleigh and your church celebrating 21 years this month on February 22nd. Started with 9 people
yes.
in 1997 and now running over 1,000. And God's just blessed you. And it's just been cool to watch it all happen.
Well, when you see people's lives transformed by the Word of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, there's nothing more exciting. And we're all about people. The essence of our church is that we're about restoring hope. because we're all about people. And we've got a process to help folks live a victorious life in Christ. You know, we were talking earlier about this kind of victorious salvation piece. And the scripture says in Isaiah 43:25, I am even he who blots out your transgressions, and I will not remember your sins. That is part of the attribute of God's incredibleness, is to forget the sins we have committed. It's amazing. We have vivid memory of all of them.
Yeah.
And our assessment of ourselves is not how God sees us through the blood of Jesus, but we see ourselves through our weakness and failure. And part of the victorious aspect of Christian living is you got to get over your past to embrace what God has for you in the future. God does not remember your past, so why are you hung up on it? And a lot of, respectfully, a lot of pastors preach and teach the salvation message, death, burial, and resurrection to a 99.9% saved congregation every Sunday. And instead of moving on past the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith towards God, Hebrews 6:1-2, they're still hanging around the defeat instead of walking in the victory.
Yeah.
And I think it's time for a lot of – I think the world, honestly, Steve, I think our world is looking for, ready for, victorious Christians who have overcome their mediocrity to move into the momentum of the Holy Spirit and live a victorious life. They're looking for an example of strength and of vitality, of the working of the gospel and the working of miracles and of faith towards God and in believing God for – the transformation of their lives, their families, their jobs, their future, because life is holistic. We look at life, I'd like to say it this way, the great way to be a great hypocrite is to live a compartmentalized life. When you act and behave one way at church, another way at the home and family, another way at job, you're another way in the golf course, with your social friends in the workplace. And instead of being a holistic person, same all the time, every environment, and God is wanting to move, because there's people whose lives need to be changed by the power of God, and our Christian mediocrity is not going to do it.
No, and it's not going to do it. And my cynical side, we were talking about this before we even got on the air, my cynical side is sitting there going, well, a lot of us don't want to embrace this idea of victorious salvation and living out of the power of the Holy Spirit, your specific calling and how God has gifted you, and then the different realms that he puts you in, the different spheres that you happen to be in. Because it's one of the things I've always said, it's amazing what you can get used to.
Yeah.
And if you start believing that you're capable of so much more, now it requires a change. And we don't like change. And all of a sudden, it's like, you know, I don't want to – what if I have to step up into a bigger position that God has for me? What's that going to cost me? I think it's, a lot of that's our fallenness, but I think a lot of it is fear, which we haven't been given a spirit of fear.
No. And we talked earlier about the kind of the ambassador mentality. When I was in Australia, I was in the curtain business. Paul did tents and I did curtains for a few minutes in Australia. And I did a measured curtains at the home of the wife of the ambassador to Australia, the U.S. ambassador. And when I had to first walked into the premises, there were Marines, there was American flags. I was in Australia, but I was standing on U.S. soil in the middle of Australia. And an ambassador has the full backing and authority of the government that they represent. They represent the interest. This had to be America. They represent the interest of America. They have the support of the President of the United States and all of its military assets. We are ambassadors for Christ. We represent God on earth, which was the original mandate God gave to Adam. He fell, but through Christ we have been restored back in authority to the same place that Adam had before the fall, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to represent the interest of heaven on earth. It's time for Christians to take this challenge and mandate of the victorious aspects in Christ. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ who lives in me. It's not celebrating how much we can do in our own strength.
Right.
It's in him we live and move and have our being. He's not defeated, so why are we?
Right. Well, and you're in 2 Corinthians 5:20 talking about an ambassador, and then I just looked it up. I love this description. An accredited diplomat sent by a country as its official representative to a foreign country. But you also show up with all the prestige and all of the kind of the authority that goes with it. So when you're talking to the ambassador of the United States in Australia, he's speaking for the president.
Absolutely.
He's speaking for the United States of America.
And so when we talk to people, we are representing God on earth, which is God's original mandate, Psalm 115:16. The heavens are the Lord's, but the earth has he given to the children of men. He gave us the authority to rule on the earth. Okay, we lost it in Adam, but we got it back in Christ.
Yeah, amen.
Now you go down to verse 21. What does that say in Corinthians 5? That he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. We had no righteousness and he had no sin. He took our sin and traded us his right standing. So therefore, we can come into the presence of God without the feeling of guilt, condemnation, or inferiority, as if sin never existed in our life.
And then what does that begin to look like? Because you're in a church, you're a pastor, you do conferences and stuff. Actually, just spoke at a women's retreat, which was I thought that was awesome. And then I'm on the radio, and then I teach on Thursdays. I teach homeschoolers. My wife's at home, a homeschooler. We have all these different kind of spheres. What does this victorious salvation type living look like in our lives individually?
It starts when you first get out of bed, in as much as sometimes we wake up and we don't feel like we're saved or feel particularly victorious. Our victory is not based on our emotions or our feelings, but the reality of God's word in our life through Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's our first reality. Then to begin to live through that prism, it changes how we think and it changes how we talk. It changes how we view our measure of rule, our sphere that God has given us in the life we live, whether it's being at home. I talk to ladies in our church. What do you do? I'm just a housewife. No, you're not just a housewife. You have maybe the greatest kingdom assignment of raising up men and women for the glory of God.
Yeah, it's really amazing. That's a mindset that can not only change your family, it can change your block and can change your city.
Absolutely.
It can change a country. It can change the world. That's what we're called to. That's what we're called to live out. What does that look like some more in our daily lives? We'll talk about that with Pastor Linton Turkington when we come back right after this. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. If you were looking for a little boost or needed a little boost in your walk with the Lord and who he created you to be and in fact, who you are today, not some pond scum loser, just a little sinner saved by grace, although theologically, of course, we know that was true and that is true. But who are you on this side of your salvation? Who are you in God's eyes? And we're talking to Pastor Linton Turkington today, Celebration Church here in Raleigh, North Carolina. And he's as great of a preacher as you would think he is. So you can go to the website. And all the messages are there. You can watch live on Sundays as well. CelebrationChurchNC.com is the website, CelebrationChurchNC.com. And another thing going on in Celebration we're going to talk about here in just a little bit, which is coming up. What's the date of this? This is
February 23rd.
Oh, yeah, right around the corner.
It is.
Work is Worship, which has some just a great lineup of teachers, a bunch of business leaders, and a few pastors sprinkled in there for good measure. But this is really, what is that all about, the Work as Worship? That's a one-day local church retreat. There's locations all over the country, including Celebration Church.
Yeah, we just want to help facilitate people's understanding. This is for anybody. This is not for just professional people, even though it is. This is not just for leaders of corporations, though it is. This is for anybody who wants to be strengthened in the mission that God's called them to be. I think it's very fascinating. Part of the mix that God put in me, Steve, a number of years ago, about 1990, he started working in me an understanding of the broad spectrum of what ministry really is. When we say the word ministry, we think church. When God says the word ministry, he thinks kingdom. Mm. See, we're all looking for the coming of Christ. We're all looking for the coming of the Lord. And he said that this gospel shall be preached in all the world, and then the end shall come. Which gospel? He didn't say gospel of salvation. He said the gospel of the kingdom. The kingdom means the rulership of God over all creation. So the gospel of the rulership of God, the gospel of salvation has circumvented the globe more times than we can imagine. And a lot of people were expecting Jesus to come immediately at the time when he said those words. But the gospel of the rulership of God over all creation, that's hardly out of the gate. I wouldn't pack your bags anytime soon.
Yeah,
we've got a lot of work to do. God is not going to deliver us from the responsibility he gave to us through Adam to have the influence in the world that he's called us to influence. When Jesus was taken to the high place, Satan said, all these kingdoms, plural, multiple, didn't say kingdom, all these kingdoms of the world I will give you and their glory. So every kingdom has an authority and there is a glory connected to it. So what are those? And that's been part of my passion for a number of years, is helping people understand what the book of Corinthians says here when it says in 2 Corinthians 10:13, And it says that do not boast things without measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God has distributed to us. Everyone has a measure. The word measure is the word metron. It is the size of one's authority. We said housewife. For some of you, your authority is in the context of your home, your family. That is your measure of rule. Others of you, you're in business. You work for somebody or you're the boss. That is part of your measure of rule. A talent, skill, hobby, gift, ability is a measure of rule. Maybe you're in church ministry. That's your measure of rule. But others, you are in business ministry. That's your measure of rule. So workers' worship is really helping people to bring the secular and the sacred parts of their life together. In the Grecian culture years ago, the Greek culture used to separate the sacred from the secular. The Grecian culture valued thoughts, philosophies, ideas. They built the thinker. They sculpted the thinker.
Right.
They had the little places where all the philosophers, and they built a garden to the gods because they valued deities, inspirations, ideas, demons, angels, all those sort of things. However, they didn't value the secular things of life as great. They thought it to be more spiritual to pursue spiritual things than it was secular things. And so that's why Paul went to the Garden of the Gods,
right,
found one to the unknown God, preached to them Jesus. Well, the Hebraics, the Jewish people, they didn't separate the sacred from the secular. They thought it to be just as spiritual to teach a son a trade as it was to go to temple.
Mm, amen.
But we, in the American church, we have separated the sacred from the secular. We go to church on Sunday, give him a salute, flip in a little tip, not the tithe. We just flip in a tip, and we say, I've done my North American duty to visit God in his house on Sunday, and we go back to our secular lives, and the vibrancy of the life in Christ does not touch our secular life. And that's what the world is sick of, is that separation.
Yeah, yeah.
They're looking for people who live holistically before God by the power of the Holy Spirit, with the love of God and the grace and the peace and the care and the good works and all of those good things. We've been taking our church through a little series that we call the 15 Revolution. It's from a great book of a pastor in England by that same title, Paul Scanlon, a great, great voice in the body of Christ, transformation, a little booklet. It's about taking 15 minutes, 15 seconds to speak into someone's life and to just transform them by the power of the Holy Spirit. So if you're listening today and you're wondering what your purpose is, why were you born? Why are you breathing air? Why are you going through the motions? And if you're bored, or if you think that there's no purpose for your life, in fact, if you've even contemplated suicide, first of all, we break that spirit off of you in the
Amen.
Name of Jesus. It
Amen.
Has no authority because you have filled with the purpose of God. If you're on the planet, you have a purpose. I don't know what it is. Well, part of life is discovery.
That's right, the journey.
And for those watching on Facebook, this is for you. I got a little toy in my hand. I'm covering it with my hand. And the book of Proverbs says it's the glory of God to conceal or to hide a matter, but it's the glory of kings to find it out. We've been called to be kings and priests unto our Lord. As priests, we worship. As kings, we rule in a sphere, realm, an assignment of authority. And so God doesn't hide things from us. I believe he hides things for us. But part of life is about discovery. The Nissan Motor Company started using a phrase. I'm sure they got it from me. And they used to say in their commercials, the journey is the destination.
Yeah, there you go.
What I love about that is God uses everything in your life. So it's education, it's your job pursuits, it's trying and failing until finally you unfold what God has hidden in your life. Don't give up on the dream. Work harder to pursue after the Lord for him to show you, because there is a metron, an area of authority. There is a rule, which is the power to operate within a particular territory. You are gifted, you are anointed, you are empowered by God, and the enemy, and for that matter religion, wants to keep you down. Religion wants to control you. Holy Spirit wants to set you free. The devil wants to convince you that you are not worthy to be used by God.
That's
right. God is saying, I sent my son to the cross. He rose in power by the Holy Spirit. I sent my Holy Spirit to empower you. Get with it.
And that's the thing. You know, once you, and we talked about this earlier, off the air, we were just talking to our friends on Facebook Live. For me personally, once I started to kind of take that step and go out there in the discovery process to get to where I am today, and this is not about me. I mean, this is about me making choices.
Sure.
And God having that thing out there that he had already planted, that I'm just, you got to dig a little there.
Oh,
and while you're digging, you're learning. And the whole time you start to live this other kind of life as a Christian, you're like, I'm never going back to that. I'm never going back to the boring. And I could have stayed with my house painting company and lived this kind of life. God changed the lanes on me for the radio thing. But all of a sudden you realize, okay, I really am more than a conqueror, and I really am full of the Holy Spirit, and I really do have a pretty major job to do, whether it's in your home, in your workplace, or on the radio.
Well, look at Joseph. Had a dream. Made the mistake of telling his family. They threw him into a pit.
Yeah, yeah.
I love this. His the redemption of God. You ready? You probably heard this before. You're well-skilled. His great-great-grandfather was Abraham. Abraham was promised a son, but before Isaac arrived, he took matters into his own hands, and Hagar had Ishmael. They were put out of the camp, and they became vagabonds. His great-great-grandson has a vision from God, thrown into the pit, and sold off to some vagabonds. The people that took Joseph was the descendants of Ishmael. So Abraham's mistake became Joseph's deliverance. Oh. God is the only one who can redeem our past. Mrs. Potiphar has a hot flash, chases him around the house, put into prison, forgotten. But in a day, he's gone from the dungeon to running the palace in a day.
Yeah.
God doesn't forget the dream and the vision. He doesn't forget who you are, where you are. He knows who you are. Don't give up on your dream. The best is yet to come.
And what's these? And we got about a minute and a half left, and then we're done. But we'll definitely do this again and continue this conversation.
Have we talked about workers' worship?
A little bit. You want to talk about it some more?
Oh,
go ahead.
Oh, really, really quick.
Sure.
February the 23rd at Celebration Church here in the Raleigh area. There are other locations around the country and around the city, but we're one of the host locations. We'd love for you to join us. It begins at 8:30 February the 23rd at Celebration Church. It goes to about 4 o'clock. It's a simul-sync of a nationwide empowerment time for you to be vitalized in the vision God has put in you and to help you where you see your work as part of your worship, where you realize that God has gifted you to bring glory to the name of God through the simplicity or the complexity of what God's called you to do in life. You can go to our church website, celebrationchurchnc.com. You can register there, $25. And that includes phenomenal information and material that will transform your life. Come and join me. Love to meet you. If you hear us on the air and you come, I want to meet you.
Absolutely. And trust me, you do want to meet the guy. Not the fact that he's a great man of God and brings a great word, but anytime you have a chance to meet somebody from Australia, pretty much it's a moral imperative.
Aussie,
isn't it?
Oi, oi, oi.
Because it's just so cool. We'll do this again. We won't wait a couple years next time.
Oh, thank you.
That's kind. Awesome. Go to the website. You can check it out for yourself, celebrationchurchnc.com. February 23rd, starting at 8:30 in the morning. Work is worship. We'll be right back. Back at Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you. And it was great having Linton Turkington on. He's a local pastor here in Raleigh, North Carolina, which, you know, there's in every market, any place you go, you're going to find God doing all kinds of things and all kinds of great men and women of God doing just amazing things and speaking truth out of God's word. And so so there's local people here and you may be listening in Florida or up in northern Minnesota on our new affiliate up there. And then we have a brand new affiliate in Hawaii. I actually think they're bringing us online today out in Honolulu, a great Calvary Chapel radio station out there. And it's just, I've talked to them several times over the years, and God just kind of opened that door. And so we were able to come to an agreement there. And we have to buy airtime in a lot of places. And so we thought that was worth it to do that. So we're just going on in Hawaii today. And so I local people where God is doing things, I'm going to bring them on the show, regardless of the fact that they're local to me, because they can bless all of us, and God can use these folks to bless all of us, just like we do on Money Monday every week with our friend David Fisher, who doesn't live here in Raleigh, North Carolina, which is probably good for him. He lives out there where the weather doesn't change a whole lot, but it's usually hot in Phoenix, Arizona. David Fisher, our good friend from Landmark Capital. How are you, man?
I'm doing great, and it's not 120 degrees right now, like it will be in the summer.
yeah, that because when I was out there June and had a chance to go to dinner with you and your wonderful wife, and then when I was able to come by and visit your business and everything, that was so awesome. But oh my goodness, I think I told you at the time, and I think I mentioned it on the radio, that's as close to hell as I ever want to get in terms of the temperature. It was mind-boggling how hot it was.
You know, they say it's a dry heat, but it's still very hot, and I concur with you. That's the closest I ever want to be to that place also.
and that's like saying, in a 450-degree oven, that's a dry heat. I think it's some temperature range. It doesn't really matter. It's great to have you on, and we appreciate doing these Money Monday updates and helping us understand. And just as a reminder to people, sometimes people will ask me, David, why we talk about money or finances once a week. And just so everybody, some of our newer listeners know, so we do the first Monday of the month, we do a full show about finances and what's going on in the markets. And this all has to do with stewardship. And then on the Mondays after that, we do a little Money Monday update, which we do in the last segment of the show. And just as a reminder, why do we do this? Well, Jesus talked a whole lot about money. 16 of the 38 parables were concerned with how to handle money and possessions. In the Gospels, an amazing 1 out of 10 verses, 288 in all, deal directly with the subject of money. It's all over the Bible, and if God's talking about it, and if his son's talking about it through the word, then we're going to talk about it here, and that's why we really value our time with David. But on our Money Monday updates, David, I love how we always start, and the Lord moves in you, and you pick a scripture. And we're in the Old Testament today in one of the greatest prophetic books in the Bible, which, of course, is Isaiah. So let's start there.
Isaiah 54:10. Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you.
Amen.
You know, from a market side here, we've just had an incredible bull market, and there's been a mountain of wealth been created. And that mountain was shaken here the last couple of weeks. Some people say that it went down to a hill. I still think it's pretty bunch a big a mountain. But, you know, God's love for us is consistent no matter what the economic environment says, no matter what our spiritual environment, our temperature may be, as we assess that, no matter what may be happening in our life, what challenges we face, God is consistent. His unfailing love is there always, and nothing can shake God. He's always there reaching out to us, and he gives us this promise of his covenant to us, which is, you know, stronger than any agreement in any area in the world, and it cannot be removed nor replaced.
Well, and this last week and a half has been a great reminder of, you know, I'm looking at a chart right now. On January 26th, the Dow Jones Industrial was at 26,608. And then just the other day, it was down as low as 23,452. It ended up today a lot at 24,576. And I'm like, I got our statement, the Noble Family statement. In January, you're like, wow, look at that. We made some great profit in January. Woo! And then February comes and whammo. I'm like, oh, literally over 2 days, I saw all the January stuff go away. And I'm like, how fleeting is all of that? The ups and downs of the market and life. Whereas the solid rock of Jesus Christ and salvation and the kingdom of God is not going anywhere, and it's only getting bigger. And that's what we have to remember. I was so glad that I saw this today, that we were going to do Isaiah 54. Thanks so much for that encouragement.
Absolutely. You know, this puts into perspective that even though we've been entrusted with money, it's not our God. The Lord's relationship and how we reflect him being the salt and the light of the earth is really the key.
Yeah, absolutely. Amen to that. Thanks for that. So let's just kind of come out of the gate on that subject. Well, what would you say, David, caused the pullback in stocks recently? And then is this a financial problem we have surfacing, or is this just what we would call a regular correction? I mean, defined, it was called a correction because it was bigger than a 10% adjustment. But what do you see as what's going on right now?
Well, we're not in a financial crisis yet, but I think we will move into one. And possibly not this year. I think it'll be next year. So this is not a financial crisis. This is a normal market correction when markets move as quickly and as aggressively over as high as they went in the period of time, actually for the last 8 years now, almost 10 years. But this is caused, and I'm not going to make some friends by saying some of this, but I've done a lot of research, and I actually went to the Federal Reserve website. The Fed has created a bubble through quantitative easing, and they unwound their balance sheet. They've been saying that they're going to unwind the balance sheet, and they started doing this. They issued the first unwinding on January 31st. And so when did we have market turmoil? The very next day on an open market, February 1st. So here's what they announced in their plan, that they're going to unwind. And unwind just means selling. They got a $4.5 trillion balance sheet, which consists of two products, U.S. Treasuries, which is $2.4 trillion, and mortgage-backed securities, you know, the defaulted mortgage, which is about 1.7, almost 1.8 trillion. So they said, we got to unwind that. We got to get under somewhere, they're speculating, everybody's reading between the lines, Steve, somewhere around under $1 trillion. And the plan is to let loose of that, sell $20 billion a month in January, February, and March.
Wow.
Then increase it $10 billion the second quarter every month, another $10 billion to $40 billion on the third quarter every month, and cap it out at $50 billion a month of fourth quarter, and do this again next year, and then do it until the balance sheet that the Fed seem get back to normal levels. So when they pulled the trigger on January 31st, they sold, actually the hard number is, they sold $27 billion worth. And of that, 16 of it went back into buying new treasuries, and 11 of it came out of the treasury market, and the Fed or the Treasury paid the Fed their money of $11 billion, and they put it in their bank account. I'm talking very simple terms so everybody understands.
Yeah, yeah.
So they unwound their balance sheet, and this is what caused market turmoil. They're going to do this every month. Now, what I'm not saying is next month we're going to have another 10% correction, and the month after, and the month after.
Right, right.
But the Fed has said by their own admittance they do not know, and in fact they tried to call on Brian Sack and Joseph Gagnon, the two guys that created quantitative easing. They called them over 5 years ago to create a plan to unravel the balance sheet. And every model they did, they could not get away from market turmoil, significant in market turmoil. And this is what this is. So we're going to see in the future what's going to happen as the Fed unravels their balance sheet or unwinds it. This is causing great distress.
Yeah, and then, of course, you look at today, the market was up 410 points. So do you think this correction, this particular correction is done now? Or are we going to have another one, like, you know, another week like we had last week?
Well, it just depends on how people get calmed into the market. I mean, there's a household name called Dennis Gartman, who's a financial guy. He's very conservative and not a, you know, a gold guy or anything like that. He's a stock guy. And he said today on Fox News, get a third to half your money out of the market and just park it for 6 months to a year in cash. He says, there's nothing wrong with that. Look at how much the market's gone up. So he's alluding to that this is not done. Normally, a 10% correction happens every 3 years. We haven't had that in 8 years. So we could still see some more of this. We've had a whole lot of volatility, up 500 points, down 500 points. So to say that one day of this, or 2 days, Friday and today,
right,
it's still too early to tell.
Is there any consensus amongst analysts out there that you know of and respect?
You have a lot of people out there that are saying now is the time you should hop into this market. But I saw the same thing being said in 2008, you know, when that all happened. So it's normal that people say when a correction happens, they can buy the same stock for 10% lower. But there's a lot of people that are coming out that have never said these aggressive things, like Dennis Gartman telling you to get half your money in cash. That's just unheard of. I've never heard him ever say that in 25 years. There's people out there like Peter O'Toole who said, and he's a very well-respected hedge fund manager, he said nothing makes sense. Bonds are insane. Equities are at all-time highs that don't make sense. It's 1998, 99. It's 2007, 2008. It's the same thing again, but this time everything's expensive. The only thing you should do and invest now is cash and gold, and he's not a gold guy. You know, this may sound self-serving, but there's, you know, Stuart Varney, Fox News, even came out today and talked about buying gold because inflation is coming. He says with all the treasuries that the Fed are issuing.
And that's why you always bring up the one particular passage of scripture on this one, which remind our listeners, David, what you bring up with respect to balancing out a portfolio.
Portion to seven, a portion to eight, because you do not know a tragedy may fall you. So get some money in cash, get some money in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, and get some gold.
Yeah, you got to balance out that teeter-totter because we're definitely in for some wild waters. David Fisher, always great to have you on. Friends, if you want to get some information, some education through David's great staff, they're available. You can find out more at their website, which is landmarkgold.com, or you can give them a call easily enough at 844-879-8882, 844-879-8882. As always, David, thanks for your help.
God bless.
God bless. We'll talk to you real soon. Okay, friends, this is Steve Noble. It is Call to Action Radio. Aloha to my new friends in Hawaii, and God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon.